Already on the phone right now is Kirk Herbstreit. His new book, Out of the Pocket, Football Fatherhood and College Game Day Saturdays, is out on August 17th on Tuesday. He's on the phone now. Hey, Kirk, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Your book was great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're just the all-American guy next door, aren't you? I mean, everybody, you married the cheerleader. You were the captain of the football team. I mean, you're just the nice guy.
Well, I think for me, I've always tried to be really grounded, always tried to be really humble. I kind of, as you, if you read the book, you see that I had very humble beginnings.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the stuff that I went through with family allowed me to just not ever take myself too seriously. And just as quickly as people want to maybe say good things about you, people can just as quickly say bad things. So you try to just stay level-headed and, like I said, grounded and just appreciate everything you have.
Your book, Out of the Pocket, it's not just about college football. It's about your life. It's about working hard. You never were given anything, even though your dad was a big-time player at Ohio State. You went to Ohio State. You wanted to work in radio, so you called up the radio station and said, "Hey, I want to work for you guys." And they gave you a job.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, I was a business major at Ohio State and marketing, and I'd love to have played in the NFL, but that just wasn't in the cards for me. So I didn't want to be a guy that just was bouncing around in an arena league or just a smaller league. I just wanted to get on with my life. And so I thought I would just get a job, and I had a bunch of interviews lined up as I was getting ready to graduate with pharmaceutical sales and Worthington Industries and all really potentially lucrative opportunities for me. And as you said, I just reached out to a local radio station back then. This is way back in 1993. The internet wasn't even started yet, so it's a different time. Talk radio was just starting to become something in this country, sports talk radio. And so the station got back to me a few months later and said, "Funny you're calling. We're going to an all sports format, and we're looking for a host in the afternoon drive, and we'd love to hire you. But we don't have a lot of money. We're just kind of getting going. We'll offer you $12,000, no benefits, nothing. But we can at least get you a job." And so I had to sit there and make a decision between, conventional wisdom says go for stability and money versus doing something that I had no idea what it potentially could lead to, but it sounded like a lot of fun. I grew up listening to sports talk radio, and I love talking sports. And so I went back and forth, talked to basically everybody that I knew, and it was pretty much 99.9% take the sales job, get on with your life.
Yeah.
And I just followed my heart and it took this radio show, and obviously it ended up going pretty well, and it led to some other opportunities and new doors would open up. So my message for a lot of people, not just in this book, but just in general, is for people, sometimes we get caught up in how much money can I make. And for me, I didn't come from money, so I didn't care about making money. I just wanted to do something that I actually looked forward to going to work. I don't know how many people in America could say that. And I wanted to be one of them. And so that's why, honestly, at the end of the day, why I went with my gut and decided to take the radio job, again, having no idea it would lead to ESPN and a lot of the other chances of things I got to do down the road.
Yeah, and then you got College Game Day, and you replaced Craig James, and you didn't make any waves. I mean, I'm reading the book, and there are some times where digs at you and Coach Leo. You never interrupted him. You never wanted to make any waves on this show. You showed respect. For the position you had, and just for the fact that you were so happy to be there, you just wanted to do your job and not try and be Craig James.
Exactly. I was just, to be 25 or 26 years old and to be on the set of College Game Day, Craig, who had a brilliant career, and it was very challenging to step into that seat that he had left that year in 1996. He went on to the network, CBS, and went on to bigger and better things. And I took that seat, and everywhere I went, people were so used to Craig and Coach Corso and Lee's, their personality and their very combative style in a fun way. that people wanted me to be Craig James when I first started, which I'm not. I can't be Craig James. He's the only guy that can be Craig. So I tried my best just to, you know, even though I had a couple producers tell me, hey, dude, this isn't going to work out. Like, you need to go after Coach. You know, he's poking at you, and you're just kind of taking it, and you need to kind of go back at him. And I was like, man, I don't know, man. I don't. Maybe this isn't right for me. Maybe this just isn't, you know, going to work, because I didn't want to try to be something that I wasn't. So I ended up doing it my own way, and this will be our 26th year together, so it's been going pretty good.
There's more to this book than just obviously college football. It's your life, and there were times when I was reading this book, Kirk. Actually, was crying a little bit. I mean, you've had all the success with the ESPN, and you're married. You got the cheerleader, but you also had instances like when you guys had your first babies, you found out you were having twins. But then your wife had some problems, and they were born early, and you guys were basically told they're never going to play football.
To us, I don't know anybody that's listening has ever dealt with having a premature birth, but we were first-time parents.
Yeah.
We were just going in for our 20th, you know, full term would be 40 weeks. We were going for our 20th checkup, week 20. And just excited, we were going to see a 3D imaging, and it was a new thing back then, and we were fired up, you know. The boys at that time were starting to grow, and we wanted to see them, and we went in for just a routine checkup, and the doctor checked her and said, oh my gosh, you know, he's like, you're funneling, we've got a problem. Immediately sent her to the hospital, and they put her on bed rest, and she basically didn't get off the bed until she delivered 8 weeks later. She held on, you know, when you're dealing with babies that are born that early, the development of the brain is essential. There's so many things that can go wrong. And we almost didn't know. You know, it was better not knowing what we could have known. And we were just, you know, holding on. And Allison was a trooper. She held on as long as she could and got them to 28 weeks. And they were 2 pounds each when they were born. And put it in perspective, their skin was very transparent. I could take my ring off my finger, go down their foot to their ankle, and all the way up to their hip bone.
Wow.
Was how thin their legs were. And I didn't realize at the time, but the brain tells the heart to beat. And there'd be times, you know, in the NICU, we were there for 8 weeks, that they would flatline. You know, we're sitting there as first-time parents, and all of a sudden, flatline. And we would freak out, and the nurse would come over, and you know, they obviously do this all the time, and just kind of come over and kind of shake their leg, and all of a sudden they would be okay, and it was as simple as that. But man, there's so much that we learned about the NICU and the nurses and doctors that are in all these children's hospitals all over the country. And it's like anything in life, until you go through it, you don't quite have an appreciation for it. And we will always hold all the NICUs, especially the hospital that we were with our boys, near and dear to our heart. So yeah, they sure. And then they're 21 now, and they play. One of them, they both played football at Clemson, and one of them right now has decided that he doesn't have the same passion for the game as much as he used to. So he stepped away and transferred to Ohio State. But the other one is still at Clemson. So you know, and it wasn't about them playing. That doctor, you know, not a great comment to make to parents. They'll never play football. Like, I guess because I was a football player, they said that. We just wanted to, are they going to be okay? Are they going to be able to see? Are they going to be able to hear? Are they going to be able to, you know, be in their age group and be, you know, quote unquote normal, you know, physically? That's what we were wondering about, because to see them at that size, you know, in an incubator, it was terrifying. Anybody that's out there that's going through that, you know, I can relate and just tell you to just keep the faith, and that they will continue to grow, and you know, it's an incredible thing to go through and to experience. That's for sure.
I think another reason that the boys hung on was because your dog was old, and they got home, and then a month later the dog got to meet the boys and be around, and then the dog left.
Yeah.
So I think your dog was a good omen for them.
Yeah, my dog was everything. I'm a dog person.
Yeah, me too.
That was my first dog I had. I got her when I was 15. and she lasted all the way till I was about 30. And just in time, as you said, the boys came home, we held on to our dog as long as we could, at the same time appreciating when it was time to go, it was time to go. We didn't want to keep her alive for us, and it was always wanted to do the right thing. And she literally, like you said, it was like she just wanted to see the boys, and boys got there, and you know, 3 to 4 weeks later, she just couldn't hold on any longer. So yeah, that was a tough time.
We only have a couple minutes left. I just want to tease a few other things for people about out of the pocket. You tell some great game day stories from your years on ESPN, including people being really pissed off at you when you go to certain cities because of stuff that you said about their teams or predicted they were going to lose or win. And there were times when people just were not happy with you at all. There's great stories.
Well, you know, that's part of the game day experience, and we missed that a year ago with COVID. We didn't have fans out there, knocking on wood, hoping that we'll get back to being yelled at and cussed at and all the passion and emotion that comes with college football. But yeah, that's happened many, many places that we go. Happens to all of us. Lee gets it. Anybody who makes any kind of predictions, the fans get worked up and fired up about it for sure.
Hey, when you were growing up, did your mom throw at you? You were a big baby. Did she throw at you? You know, you were a big baby. You almost killed me. Or, you know, did she ever throw that in your face if you did anything wrong, saying about how big of a baby you were?
She always did. Yeah. She used to talk to me all the time about not only how big I was when I was born, but, you know, by the time I was 6 months, you know, a lot of people thought I was much older than I really was, just because how big I was. My mom, you know, you talked about this book being more than a football book. It really goes into, you know, my dad was a hero of mine. You talked about him playing at Ohio State. And then my parents, you know, divorced when I was 8. And, you know, my world kind of turned upside down, like a lot of people's, when you go through divorce. And for me, my mom, she was a stay-at-home mom my first 8 years of my life. And then she had to go try to sell Cadillacs and try to make a living doing that, try to pay for us to be able to live. And so my dad kind of disappeared from my life for a large portion of like 9 years old till really up into high school. So it touches on that and you know, being a shy kid and dealing with a divorce and how challenging that can be for so many people.
Well, being a shy kid, you kind of got out of your comfort zone when you became a quarterback. You got the got the cheerleader, you got the family, you got the ESPN gig, and now you got a book, Kirk, Herb Street. Can I call you Herbie? Don't all your friends call you Herbie?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
yeah,
I feel like we're friends now. Your book, Out of the Pocket, Football Fatherhood and College Game Day Saturdays. I know I got to let you go. When does College Game Day start back? Isn't college football start pretty soon?
Yeah, we start, they call it week zero. There's a handful of games. We'll be in Atlanta for an HBCU game, and we'll be kicking off the season at 9 a.m. Eastern on the 28th for College Game Day, and just really like a little over a week, and it's go time. And then the following week we'll be in Charlotte for the first real week of the season. That week Clemson is playing Georgia in a huge game. Ooh. There's big games all over the country that weekend, but the 28th we get started, and we're excited to get it going.
One final question, and just give me a yes or no because we're running out of time. Texas and OU are reportedly moving to the SEC. Is the SEC getting too big for his britches? Is it good for college football?
That's a hard answer for yes and no.
Oh, okay.
It's good for the SEC. It's concerning for the rest of the remaining of what's left of the Big 12 and what are these other conferences going to do. So I'm anxious to see what will happen. Boy, we're right in the middle of, it's almost like a tsunami is going on right now in college athletics, and we'll know more in the coming years, 2 to 3 years. But right now, everybody's kind of guessing and speculating what this will do. But one thing is for sure, the SEC was a premier conference and has got obviously much stronger by bringing in those two brands, Texas and OU.
People can follow you on Twitter at Kirk Herbstreet. The book, again, is Out of the Pocket. Kirk, it was a pleasure talking to you. The book is out again on August 17th, tomorrow, Tuesday. Today's Monday. Thank you for the time. Good luck with everything, and we'll see you on ESPN.
You got it. Thanks a lot,
bud. Bye-bye.